or any of you over at McCree Show fans?
I didn't really watch it that much. I don't even think it's on TV anymore. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not really a fan of that necessarily, but I knew a little bit about Oprah's show, enough to know that I heard about one program where they gave away a free car to everybody who was there in attendance. And what a generous act that was. What an incredible, gracious, generous thing to do. And I thought about coming to worship when we gather together and we look at the Word of God and unpack that, and what a beautiful gift that is to us. Even better than a shiny brand new sports car. It's the Word of God, and we have the Word of God in our lives. But it would be cool if I could tell you all right now, underneath your seats, there's a key for your brand new car. They're being unloaded in the parking lot now. Well, that would be cool. I wish I could do that. Yeah, I think that's an action mark on the left and an alley on the right there. But that would be a neat thing. But what if we did that? What if we could do that this morning? And we gave you your key, and you didn't know which one out there is yours, though. But you've got your little key fob, you've got your little electric starter, and you could hit some buttons, you could see the lights flash, you could tell which car belongs to you this morning. What would your response be to that? To walk out there, and you hit that, and you see that beautiful new car there that you weren't expecting. But what if you got into your car, and you put the key in the ignition, and you turned it, and nothing happened? No sound, no lights, no anything. It just sat there. You can sit there, and you can enjoy the fact that we're giving you keys, we're giving you a title, you've got a new car, which is great. But if it doesn't start up and go anywhere, you can't really enjoy driving it. You can't use it for what it's meant for, which is really to get you somewhere. All you can do is sit there and dream about what could have been or should have been. You should be able to take this somewhere, but it's not really moving. And for some of us at times, there are seasons in our Christian life where it can feel a little bit like that, where we have received something. We've received this new relationship with Jesus, and it is desirable, it's beautiful, it's such a wonderful thing, and it's meant to take us somewhere in this life. It's meant to conform us to the image of Jesus, and it's meant to help us to live out a testimony to God's goodness that other people see and point people to Him. But there are seasons where it just seems like, you know, I just don't feel like the power's on. It doesn't seem like it's really moving where it's supposed to be moving. I'm kind of sitting here. This is great, and it's shiny, and it's beautiful, but I know I'm supposed to be moving up the road, and I don't feel like it. There are times, honestly, where I hear wonderful messages from different pastors that I like to listen to that are challenging about the high calling of the Christian life. Or sometimes in my readings of pastors from years ago, the high calling of the Christian life and what we're being called to live out our identity in Christ, to be world changers, to be more than conquerors. And there are times where I look at my life and I think, I'm not seeing that. I don't know that I'm turning the world upside down for Jesus this week. And part of that, I think, is that we know our weaknesses. You know, we know our failures. We know our temptations. We know where we don't measure up often. And we want to experience what God has for us. We want to move on up the road in this vehicle of salvation that He's given us. But sometimes that beautiful ideal just doesn't seem to be the reality in our life. We want to have a more vibrant and active and powerful Christian life that God's calling us to. And in a way, it's like a beautiful gift that He's given to us, meant to take us somewhere. But what do we do with that? What do we do with the fact that there are seasons where we just don't seem to be moving up the road the way that we hoped that we want to? And I want to give all of us a few practical steps this morning to maybe help us with that. And I want to, first of all, just kind of sum up what the problem is, and we're going to look at what God's Word says about the answer for it. Even when we are at our very best spiritually, and our desire is to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and in the center of His will, we find out sometimes, and really all the time in our flesh, we don't have the ability to do it. It's God working through us. We can't do that on our own, and God's Word speaks to that. So this morning we're going to start out looking at Romans 7. If you'd like to turn to Romans 7. The Apostle Paul experienced and understood the same thing, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote about this struggle in his own life. We're going to start at verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law. And here he's speaking of the moral law of God. For it is spiritual and good. The trouble's with me. The trouble is with me. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law, that it is good. So, I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that's doing it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, within my sinful nature, within myself. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is so dominated by sin and by death? Thank God. The answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So here in Romans 7, God lays out what our problem is in a way that's easy for us to understand. That we don't have the power that we need to do the good that we desire. In Ephesians 5 and 6, and we're going to take a look at this in a minute, if you'd like to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And a lot of this I'm going to sum up. But it contains some wonderful instructions from Scripture on having a victorious Christian life, of answering this problem that Paul has brought to our attention here. And in Ephesians, it talks about not only having a personal victorious Christian life, but how that plays out in our families, how to have a healthy Christian family life in our relationships. And these verses offer a lot of insights. They offer insights into parenting with love and with truth, in having a godly marriage, in submission and sacrifice, and a lot of different elements of our just daily Christian life as a family. The Apostle Paul addresses some of these critical things of the Christian home life in Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. And he speaks about the source of power working in our relationships. If we're to live it out, it's not in ourselves. It's not in our own abilities, but it's cultivated by the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit in our Christian life and in us that helps us with this. I'm not much of a video game person these days anyway, but I know a lot of people are, especially young people. But whatever electronic device this might apply to for you, but I have a youngest son who likes video games, and an oldest son who likes video games. Just came to mind. You might have the brand new, latest, greatest video game system or other device that in itself is all put together perfectly. It's all quality components and there's nothing wrong with it. But if it's not plugged into the power source, it's not going to do what you want it to do. And if you got this new system and you've got it hooked up correctly and you hit the power button and nothing's happening, one of the first things you might look at is your surge protector. You would look at that and see, is the power coming through to make this do what it's supposed to do? The same thing is true in our Christian life, as individuals and even as families, that for us to experience the transforming power of Christ in our lives, we have to let the Holy Spirit work through us so that His power is really giving us the ability for that to happen, for it to be lived out in the way He intends for us. So prior to the practical advice we're going to look at here in a second, in this passage, Paul gave some powerful insights into the solution, and he talks about time management and some other things, and for us to live out the Christian life the way God wants, He gives us some principles that we're going to look at, and three application points. And the first is in Ephesians 5:17. We'd like to look at Ephesians 5:17. It says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So the first thing that Paul's telling us here, guided by the Holy Spirit, is we need to live wisely. We need to understand what the will of God is for us. And Paul made this strong appeal about using time wisely in the prior verses. There, you can look at that later. But to use our time wisely here, we have to know what the will of God is, of what He wants us to do with our time. And so we need to have clarity about the will of God. We need to be intentional to do the will of God. And a great way for us to do this, and this is just a very practical thing we can do, is to establish a family mission statement. Establish a biblical family mission statement. If you're on your own, you can do this personally, just for yourself. Maybe this is something that doesn't apply to you, that you can share with your kids or grandkids if they need to do. But to understand in your home life that you need to be very clear about doing the will of God, and having a mission statement to live by and to look at and remember day by day can be very helpful with that. So that every member of the family is embracing God's will collectively for what God wants for your family. And it doesn't need to include every goal, every aspiration, every dream that you have. It just needs to be something that consistently points your family from Scripture. What's our family about? What's the main thing here? If we're going to be doing what it says in Ephesians 5:17, if we're going to understand the will of God, and then we're going to apply that, how are we going to do that? And I just want to share with you a great example of what that might look like for your family from the Scriptures. One family uses as their mission statement, I think this is very good, "It is our desire to honor our Lord Jesus in every endeavor." It is our desire to honor our Lord Jesus in every endeavor, to reflect His grace and truth in everyday life. To reflect His grace and truth in everyday life, and to put one another before ourselves. I think that's beautiful. Yours might look a little different than that. But that's just to remind us, just a practical application step. You know, God's Word tells us about having His Word surrounding us, you know, on the doorposts and talking about it, having it throughout our lives, being saturated with the Word of God. And I think understanding from the Word of God that He wants us to live within His will, to be reminded of His will in our life, to keep the main thing the main thing. And so it's good just to have this clarity and from the Word of God to say, this is really what our family needs to be about. Let's remind each other of this. Let's maybe print this up in something nice and put it in a frame or whatever it may be for you, but something from the Word of God, certainly, that aligns with His Word. And just reminds you of the basics that we need every day to understand. We need to live in His agenda, not our agenda. We need to do what makes sense to the Lord according to His plan for us, and not necessarily what we always want to do. I think of the word of, and why this is so important, the will of God for our lives is really a lot like driving at night. That when you drive at night, you have your headlights illuminating what's in front of you. And that's usually how the will of God is for us, that we see just what's in front of us. God shows us that next step. But in order to see further up the road, we're talking about moving on in our Christian life and living out this, wanting the car to go somewhere. Then in order to see further up the road, we have to faithfully and obediently drive where we see what's in front of us now. We can't just sit there parked. We have to go with what we see. And so the more that we respond in obedience in our family and in the little things, the more God shows us the next step. He helps us to move on up the road. He gives us more knowledge of what he wants us to do as a family and how to grow. So we need to move forward and trust and obedience in little things each day. And that's what that family mission statement or personal mission statement can do for us. It's just to help us to see, keep our eyes fixed on the road. Let's stay in God's will. Let's stay in his word and move ahead. A second life application that we can look at is letting Christ be the head of our home. And I'm just going to summarize this for us. If you want to look at Ephesians 5:22-6:5, and you can look at this in more detail later. A lot of times this is referred to as the family section of this passage, but it focuses on the flow of yielding and of care that's mentioned here. It talks about wives submitting to their husbands in verse 22. It talks about husbands loving their wives in verse 25. It talks about children obeying and honoring the parents in 6, verses 1 and 2. But the most common relationship chain that we see here is the chain of authority mentioned in the Lordship of Jesus Christ in each of these relationships. In verses 22 through 27 and 29 also, it speaks about the Lord's role, that he is Lord of our relationships. That our home life isn't separate from our church life or our Christian life. That Jesus is Lord also there. Our relationships, and we talked about praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord and so many things being an act of worship. Our relationships at home and our families are to be an act of worship to the Lord. How we live out those relationships. And foremost is his lordship over each relationship, over everything. So with our words and our deeds, our actions, we need to do that with reverence for God, of how we live out our home life. That applies to how we react and respond and interact with spouses or with grandchildren or parents or whatever it may be. But all those can be done in a way that acknowledges Jesus is Lord, that I'm not, or they're not. Jesus is Lord. And that's why we live this out in accordance with his word. And as we live out that daily biblical mission statement for ourselves or for our family, we need to understand that the ultimate reason for that is to bring honor to God. And we do that by acknowledging his lordship over our home. And then also, finally here in verses 18 through 21, we have another application. And Paul talks about another way that the Holy Spirit can transform our home life. And that's by letting the Holy Spirit guide our conversations. Starting in verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Looking at that passage, one of the things that I see there is that evidence of the Holy Spirit being in charge of me is how I speak to others. Am I speaking in a way that God's word is coming back out? Am I speaking in a way that's praising him? Are spiritual songs and hymns coming out in my speech? You see there in verse 19. Also, we see that when the Spirit is leading, that there's thanksgiving to the Father. In verse 20. And it also leads to a mutual submission to the needs of others, that those matter to me. In verse 21, it talks about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And practically speaking, what that means is the other person's needs are more important than my wants. No matter what my want is, or my preference, or what I would have, real love, the love of Christ, comes out in me putting what they need ahead of what I want. And that's what the Lord's talking about here in verse 21. Can you imagine a household where it looks like this? Just daily, day in and day out, what a wonderful way to live Christian family life. That we set aside our selfish desires, or even rightful things sometimes, that we set those aside for the sake of building others up, for the sake of encouraging others in faith, in our family. Does that reflect your home life? Does that reflect my home life? I have to ask myself. You know, how do my words reflect what I hope is the reality that I'm yielding to God to lead me? Often that comes out in our conversations with those who are closest to us, with our family members. When Christ really has his way in our home, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the level of hope, the level of joy and peace, the thankfulness is there, the encouragement, the gratitude. It doesn't mean that things are conflict-free. I wish it did. It doesn't mean that things are perfect necessarily, or that we're getting everything right, but it means there's a consistent intentionality to make much of Christ, to yield to him and trust him and our families, and to help him to just not only fill us, but fill our relationships in a way that changes it, that makes it what God wants it to be. But his Spirit is giving us power to live out the Christian life that he wants for us. So the vehicle he's given us is not just sitting there, pretty and shiny and brand new and not really going anywhere. So I just want to encourage us this morning to take some bold steps and just apply these things to our life, to have some intentionality about keeping the main thing, personally and at home. That maybe we could have a personal mission statement. Just something biblical from God's word, certainly, that just helps us to understand that honoring him is really what it's about. It's not about my 401k or whatever, or that trip to Branson or whatever. Or getting that repair done on the car. Those are all, you know, good stuff. But the main thing is that Christ is exalted, especially in our relationships at home. So establish that mission statement. And then make sure that we live that out in a way that Christ is the head. Christ is the one who is Lord of everything in our home, so that he's honored. And as a result of that, our conversation is different. That our speech is different to one another, that we speak life to each other, that we speak in a way in our homes that build each other up in the faith, and doesn't tear each other down. And I think if we do that, that would help those basic steps help us to take that shiny new car of the Christian life and to start it up and to be able to move a little further up the road sometime when we get stuck. And to do it in his power, not try to live it out in our flesh. That's where I get off track sometimes. with good intentions of the Christian life trying to do it in my strength. And that doesn't work very well. I don't get very far doing that. Worship team, would you like to come back up, please? Zechariah 4:6. This is one of my favorite verses. Actually, I have this printed out, and it's at home on my computer desk. I have this. A friend of mine printed this and gave it to me as an encouragement. I just love this. You will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, all powerful, almighty. What a wonderful truth, what a wonderful reminder it is that he doesn't expect me to live out the Christian life on my own. That he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power source that we need to do it. And we need to ask for his help. We just need to ask for his help to live it out. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's the one who does that. In the preceding verses there to that, there in Philippians, Paul was talking about living in trials and struggles and difficulties, and then also living victoriously in helpful victories that God gives us that builds us up. But he says, you know what? It's not in my situation that I have strength. It's not whether I'm going through a trial. It's not whether I'm on top of the mountain. It's not whether I seem to have a lot of resources or very little. He's saying it's through Christ. Christ is the one who gives me strength. It's from him. The Lord is our power source. It's not in ourselves. I'm going to